Okay, tonight, as Ryan mentioned this morning, it's going to be a more practical presentation of the RU ministry than he gave in Sunday school and in the morning worship service. And I think you'll appreciate that. In some portion of the evening service, he is going to allow us to ask questions. Anything that comes to mind, your mind, I do not want you to hesitate or be timid to ask anything nature related to the RU ministry. Now's the time to ask. Hopefully he'll have the answer. If not, I think he'll probably assure us that he will do his best to try and get the answer back to us as quickly as possible. But I think this is the time that we should ask those kind of questions, since we're exploring the very real possibility of this becoming an aspect of our ministry here at Victory Baptist Church. So Ryan, if you'll come at this time, and I know he's got a couple of videos that he's going to share with us as well, and then of course he wants to share with us how this ministry can get people to Jesus Christ, which is a very important part of the Reformers Unanimous ministry as well. So we look forward to all of this. Come share with us one more time.
Thank you, preacher.
Good to have you with us.
It's good.
Well, I'm sure there are a few questions out there that we're going to get to in just a few moments, and hopefully tonight we can clear up some of the questions and some of the the unanswered. A ministry like this, there's a lot of hesitations that people have in their mind. There's a lot of reservations. There's a lot of what if this happens that people think of when you say, you know, we're going to go reach people that have addictions. That just opens up a whole wide variety of thoughts. And so hopefully if there's negative thoughts, we can hopefully answer questions in such a way that would remove some of those. If there's just question marks, hopefully we can answer those and give educated answers on those. And I want to explain real quickly here just how the RU ministry is, how the Friday night class works. Now, we mentioned this morning that there's a Friday night class, which is the talk format. And it starts typically on Friday night from 7 o'clock till about 9:30 p.m. And normally, most of our chapters meet on Friday night. Now, it's not mandatory to meet on Friday night. Some chapters meet on Thursday. We have some chapters that meet on Saturday. It's just whatever day fits in best with the schedule of the church. And so that'd be up to your pastor and your director to find out the best night. You say, well, why do you meet on Friday nights as opposed to like Monday night? And there's a couple different reasons. Friday night seems to be the time when a lot of people get paid. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And as somebody who's personally been in an addiction, I know that when I would often get paid, that would be the very, having money in hand was a big trigger for me. And so having a class on Friday night, we do that with hopes that somebody would get paid on Friday and come, and we would prevent them from going and starting their weekend off wrong. You know, like we would start off our week Sunday is really the which gives our momentum, our week momentum would be Sunday. And as goes Sunday, usually is how goes the rest of the week. If you come to the house of the Lord and worship and honor him first on Sunday, then usually Monday and Tuesday goes better. So does Wednesday, Thursday, and so on. And so Friday night's a time when it's the heyday. It's when people kick off the weekend. And we've seen people that come on Friday night, we change the course of their whole weekend. And usually we see them again on Sunday a lot of times. And so that's kind of the reasoning behind the Friday night. Typically the way a normal Friday night class would work is people would come in. About 6:45, we would have people to greet people as they would come in. We'd have a registration table set up where people would go and we'd get their information, their name, their birthday, their social security number, their Visa card number, and all of the pertinent information. I'm teasing. Just making sure you're awake this evening. All right. We'd get all that information from them, and we'd give them a name tag to wear so we can identify them as a guest. And then everybody comes into a certain meeting location. Sometimes that's the auditorium. Sometimes that's a specific classroom. It's wherever your pastor decides to have that. And we'll open up with a principle. Now, we're not a 12-step program. And I've often been asked, are you a 12-step program? No, we're a one-step program. Amen. And we believe if we can get somebody to Jesus Christ, he'll make all the changes in their life, and he'll do everything inside, being confident this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we get that one step, get them to Christ, and he'll do all the work. But beyond the one step to Christ, we have 10 principles, we call them. And they're all based on God's word. They're principles that Steve Carrington put together right when he came back to the Lord that are kind of like a roadmap for recovery. I'll give you an example. If God's against it, so am I. That's principle number one. And, you know, before anybody can ever have victory, they've got to be convinced that the things that they're trying to change in their life, if they're wrong, that if God's against it, they need to be against it as well. You know, we'll never quit participating in an activity that we can justify. And that's one reason I'll say this, why it's very difficult for people that have prescription, addiction to prescription meds. It's very, very difficult for them to get off of that because they have a doctor that's justifying, condoning that. And when the doctor writes the prescription, it's easy to say, well, my doctor says I have to take this. And, you know, just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's right. You know, and, you know, there are stores that legally sell alcohol all across this town that God clearly says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, so God clearly commands us to abstain from alcohol. So that's just one of the examples of principles. At the beginning of the class on Friday night, we'll play on video about a 12-minute principle. There's one video for each of the principles on DVD. And that's how we, you know, right at 7 o'clock, we'll play the video, we'll turn the lights off, people will know that's time to start. We try to do that promptly. And on the video is Steve Currington explaining and giving Bible verses to support each of the principles. My favorite principle is principle number 5, which says, small compromises lead to great disasters. And that was the case in my own life. If you saw the video this morning, I took one drink of alcohol, having used drugs and alcohol as a teenager, and that one compromise, that one little sin, led me to 4 years of my life being wasted. And so, you know, with the program, we teach people to look for those small areas of compromise that would lead them back into whatever sin struggle that they're there to deal with. Okay, so then after the principal plays, we'll stand up, and we have a motto that we do, and I'm going to practice it with you tonight. It basically goes like this. The director would stand up and say, here at Reformers Unanimous, we like to do 3 things. What is it, class? And if you're from, yeah, we have a few people that are familiar with it. Now, if you're familiar with it, they would all say at the top of their lungs, talk, talk, talk. And so let's try that. Can we do that just to make sure everyone's awake? All right, here at Reformers Unanimous, we like to do 3 things. What is it, class?
Talk, talk, talk.
That was pretty good. And then he would say, yeah, that's right. First we talk to the Lord in prayer and testimonies, which would be the first talk. Then we're going to talk to each other in small groups. And then the Lord's going to talk to us through the message. And so that's really the breakdown. The talk, talk, talk is really the schedule. Now, the first 45 minutes, 40 to 45 minutes is a time when we pass around a microphone and people share 1 to 2 minute testimonies. Now, when you say 1 to 2 minute testimonies, what you're really saying is, you know, 2 to 5 minute testimonies, because people interpret it that way, and you'll see some of that. But, you know, let me just give you an example of what a testimony would sound like on a Friday night. You know, if I were to grab the mic and say, hey, my name's Ryan, I just want to thank the Lord for 2 years and 5 months victory over alcohol, cocaine, marijuana, and tobacco. And, you know, right at that moment, what the director would normally do is he would stop and interrupt me, and everybody would clap. Because that's victory. That's time that I've been away from serving the devil and I've been serving the Lord. That's victory. That's clean time. And we get excited about that. You know, any time that someone's living in victory or has overcome any kind of stubborn habit, we make a big deal about that. Because that's an evidence of God working in their life. And so that's kind of an example of an introduction to a testimony. And then I would say something like, you know, I just as I've been down this journey of recovery, I've discovered that, you know, God, a relationship with the Lord is what's going to keep me clean. And, you know, this week I had a temptation to compromise in a small area of my life. And I'm just thankful that the Lord reminded me of principle number 5, that small compromises lead to great disasters. And so I give God credit for keeping me from making a small compromise. And I just want to give him thanks for that. See, that's a simple testimony. Now, the great thing about it is if you're here and you want to come on a Friday night and participate, your testimony does not have to be relating to drugs and alcohol. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, having to relate with tobacco or alcohol or any of that. It could just be, you know, a testimony is an awareness of God's presence in your life. And if God is real to you and if God did something this week, man, by all means, share that with somebody. Because, you know, the goal of the program is that people who may not have a close relationship with the Lord would walk through the doors of a church like Victory Baptist Church and would hear what God's doing in each and every person's life. And they would leave convinced that, number one, God is real. And number two, I can have what they have. It's available to me. And so that's what the testimony time does. So we go through about 45 minutes of that. And sometimes if it gets a little slow, you know, we'll encourage everybody to do what we call victory testimonies. And we'll say, you know, we're going to pass the microphone around, and I just want you to give how much time of victory that you have. And so somebody would say, hey, you know, I have 3 days victory over cigarettes. We would clap for that as well. Somebody would say, I have 2 years and 6 months victory over alcohol. We clap for that as well. Somebody would say, I have, 6 months victory over Culver's dessert. And we would clap for that as well. We've even had it where somebody says, you know, I have 2 months victory over Facebook. And believe it or not, you know, people get drawn into that stuff, and it can become an addiction. It can become something that consumes your life. And so so that's the first talk. Now, as we move into the second talk, this is where we kind of break it up. Now, all the first timers will stay through what we call the beginner's class. And usually the director would lead that and get to know all the new guests, and he would kind of give an overview of the different parts of the ministry. He would give his personal testimony of what God's done in his life, and then answer any questions that they have about the ministry, about the curriculum, about anything like that. And then after somebody comes the first time, we invite them back, obviously. They come back the second time. We put them in a challenge group. We call it a challenge group, not a counsel group, because, you know, unless we're a medical doctor, or unless we have, you know, a certified degree to give out counsel, and some of you may, we're very, very careful not to give out advice regarding medicine. You can get in a lot of trouble for that. If you tell someone to quit taking medicine, you get in big legal trouble for that. So we don't use counselor or doctor or medical terms. We try not to. But it's a challenge group, because we're there to encourage those who have maybe fallen off that week and need a little bit of boost, need a little shot in the arm, need a little encouragement. And so the men will go with the men, and the women will go with the women. Now, this time consists of it's about 30 to 40 minutes or so. We open up in prayer, and then we have what we call 300 club scorecard sheets that we turn in, and it keeps track of the attendance. It keeps track of all the challenges, we call them. In the 6 months discipleship course, we keep record of how many challenges they do every week, and so they fill out a form that kind of gives a progress for what they did that week. And then we do challenges. If there's, you know, the challenges could be verses that you memorize, it could be reading assignments, it could be anything that coming to church is one of the great things about the program. People get points for coming to church. It's one of the challenges. And so, like we said this morning, the ministry is really just to channel people into the local church from the community, people that have addictions. And so then we open it up after about 15 minutes of that for people to share. Just, you know, we usually go around the room and give everybody an opportunity. You usually have one person that will be ready and anxious to share everything that went on that week. And so we try to, you know, we try to gear it, kind of focus it towards recovery, towards the ministry, and towards how God's helping you to get victory, or how you're struggling to get victory. Kind of that's the theme, the topic. I was in a second talk group in Rockford. I used to lead one before I did some started doing a lot of traveling. And we had a guy in my group that said, he made a statement about election. He says, man, that was a great message on election the other night. And I said, yeah, that was good. And the next guy said, Brother Giles, what do you think about hyper-Calvinism? And I said, hold on a second here. This is not what we're here to do. We're here to talk about recovery. We're here to talk about, you know, I says, I'll talk to you about that later if you like. So the second talk group is a chance for somebody to, if they're having using thoughts, we encourage them to be honest about that. We say, you know, what's said in this room stays in this room. You know, we want them to feel comfortable. They can share what's going on in their life. Now, obviously, there are exceptions to that. If somebody says that they're abusing an elder, or if somebody says, you know, last night I just robbed the first bank of, you know, that no longer is an addiction ministry issue. That's a legal issue. So we're very clear on that. So the second talk ends with a challenge from the group helper, just to remain strong and to remain focused on the Lord that week. And then those groups will break and we'll come in to what we call the third talk. Now, the third talk is probably the most exciting part. This is the preaching. This is the teaching time. And if you've seen out on the table, there's it's called Nevertheless I Live. It's the main textbook for RU. Now, if we were AA, that would be our blue book. I'm not colorblind. I just kind of compare it that way because it's start to finish most of what we believe about addictions in that book. And so we encourage all the workers to get a copy and read through that and become very familiar through that. And we teach through that on Friday nights. And so there's a student edition. There's a teacher edition. Remind me to add that to your starter kit. I think that wasn't in the kit that I had put together for you. But basically, we give an invitation. We give the gospel every week. At the end of the third talk, we give a chance, like your pastor did this morning. If you're here without Christ, you need to accept him. You know, let us talk with you about that. Sometimes we have them come forward. Sometimes we meet them at the back. It's just, you know, however the Lord leads in that situation. We've also seen people saved in the beginner's class. You know, and I'd encourage you as part of leading the beginner's class to give your personal testimony of salvation. And then it was about 3 weeks ago, I was home for the weekend, and Matt Bailey leads our beginner's class. And he said in the second talk, he told how the Lord had saved him. And at the end of the question time, he opened it up. He said, now, are there any questions? And there was a guy that was there for the first time. He raised his hand. He said, what you talked about getting forgiven, he said, can I do that tonight too? I mean, just like that. And within 5 minutes, I walked back by the class and they were both knelt down by the chair. And I was receiving Christ as a Savior. And that's what it's all about. It's about people that come to Christ and then watching Christ transform their life and just do a great work in them. And so the third talk is a great way to just get them under the sound of the preaching, you know. And, you know, by no means is it a full lengthy sermon like maybe what you would hear at church. You know, we encourage them, you know, 25, 30 minutes at the most. Not to put too much burden on the director in preparation that week, but just enough to whet their appetite to get them to the house of God on Sunday. Amen. And get them used to hearing preaching and used to hearing the Word of God. And that kind of is in a sum, the group. And then we have what we call the fourth talk, or some people call it happy hour. It's where we meet afterwards. We have this activity in our group where we call it hangovers. It's where we hang out after class is over. And it's a term that people can identify with that have had addictions. And so, you know, get creative with it. You know, it's a way to have fellowship with people and to encourage them to get to know the people that are in the church, you know. We ought to be willing to be a support group for people that have addictions. And God, I believe, designed it that way. Well, what I want to do, that's kind of in a nutshell the Friday night class, and I'm going to explain a few more things. I'd like to, if we can at this time, play a video. And how many of you know somebody that, we asked this question this morning, that has an addiction, and you've wondered, how can I help them to see their need for an addiction? You know, that they have a need for recovery from addiction. How many of you have wondered, you know, what more could I do? Is there something I'm not doing right? We've designed a personal intervention kit. It's a tool that we put together to help somebody see their need for recovery when maybe they don't see that. Oftentimes people will lose a job, or they'll lose a family relationship, or they'll get into some trouble legally, and all of a sudden they wake up and realize, I have a problem. But it's very, very difficult to get somebody to that point without something drastic like that happening. And so this video we're about to show is a tool that we put together that comes with a little kit that is designed to help somebody see that they have a need and to reach out for help. So if we could play the personal intervention kit introduction at this time, the one that says, is this for me? This is something that you could send in the mail to somebody that you're trying to reach out to. So if we could play that at this time. Well, you're probably wondering why you got this package in the mail, who sent it, what's in it, where'd it come from. And basically, I want to tell you a little bit about my story and how the Ministry of Reformers Unanimous helped me. About a year and a half ago, my life was crippled by cocaine, alcohol, marijuana, tobacco, all kinds of addictions. And I wanted out. You know, I had been in that lifestyle for a few years and knew that I wanted to make some changes in my life, but just didn't know how. At the time, I had tried a 35-day residential treatment. I had tried AA and NA meetings. I had tried anything and everything, trips to jail. I would get clean and get out and go right back. Well, a sister of mine by the name of Cheryl came and told me about the Ministry of Reformers Unanimous and basically told me that I should look into it and see what it had to offer. And little did I know that my life was about to change and God was going to use Reformers Unanimous to change me and to get me free from my addiction. Over a year and a half now, and I haven't smoked a cigarette, haven't drank a beer, haven't done a line of cocaine. I'm off probation. I've started to get my life back, and God's completely changed my life, and He used the Ministry of Reformers Unanimous to do it. And it was because somebody cared about me. You know, a family member of mine came to me and says, Ryan, you've got a problem.
My family first intervened in my life about 2.5 years ago, telling me that I needed help with an addiction. My first response, I was resistant. I was hesitant to even admit that I had a problem. My mom had given me information on Reformers Unanimous. And, you know, I looked it over, and I didn't really know what to think at first glance. I wasn't a Christian. I had never been to church before. But I figured I'd give it a shot. Not only did I find a freedom from my drug addiction, but I began to experience a victorious life. And the Lord began to open up doors that I didn't think were possible. Had it not been for the tools here at Reformers Unanimous that discipled me and showed me how to walk daily with my Lord and Savior, and for the persistence of my mother in reaching out to me, I wouldn't be sitting here today living a victorious life.
The stories you just heard were real men. In fact, I've had the privilege over the last few months to work with them and see God transform their lives. I'm thankful for the family member that reached into their lives and shook them and let them realize they needed help. You know, when Steve Currington started this program in 1996, he said, I went to AA and NA and CA, and I didn't know that I'd ever find recovery. He tried everything. He went to every program out there. It wasn't until he walked into the door of a church that he began to find some truths and principles where he could recover God's way. And you may be wondering, why in the world am I getting this? And why? And these testimonies are moving to you, and the whole thing is interesting to you now. And maybe you're getting past some denial and realizing that this might just be for you. Inside of this kit, you'll find a topical book. You'll find Recovery Through God's Truth, written by the founder of this ministry, Steve Currington. You'll find Recovery Without Relapse. And I trust before you discard it, before you just excuse it away, that you will get involved in it, that you'll read it, that you'll study it, and letting the truth make you free, finally.
Hi, my name is Tony Richardson, and I remember it wasn't long ago in my life where I struggled with drug addiction, and I would have brief bouts of victory and then fall back into addiction. And today I want to encourage you and let you know that you truly can have recovery without relapse. I remember it was a family member that reached out to me, and it was what you would call an intervention took place in my life. And I'm hoping that today that's something that you understand is taking place in your life. And we are glad to be involved with this process and glad to be able to bring these resources to you. There is serious truth and serious recovery that is involved with these resources, and I want you to take that seriously. We have a website, which would be on your screen. Please visit that website. There will be people just like you that will help you out, love you, and be able to show you the journey that there is to recovery. We also have further tools and items there that will be able to help you out. We have a helpline, which you can call. We'd love to hear from you. Please call us. Remember, recovery is not a destination. It is a journey, and we want to help you on that journey. Thank you.
Mentioned this morning my brother, and I sent him one of these, and you know, it by no means is this kit designed to be everything that somebody needs to lead them from point A to point B as far as getting their life completely right, but it is this. It's a step in the right direction. You know, it's a step towards the Lord. It's a step towards the church. It's a step to mend a relationship between two family members. You know, after not talking with my brother for a long period of time, when I sent him this video, he called me the next day, and he was not quite ready to change, but he just said, I want to thank you for that video, thank you for that kid that you sent me. And it showed him that I cared enough about him to invest $19, you know, $19 to say, hey, I think you could be helped by this, you know. So if you have somebody in mind that would like one of those, you know, as the chapter starts, those will be available to you for you to order to for people that are tough cases that don't quite see their need. And so come see me or come see Brother Gary and request those will be available. I want to open up this time if we can for any questions about the ministry. And I think we have a couple people with microphones that will be carrying around. Any questions about anything? I know we've not covered a whole lot of information about the ministry, but who has a question, who has a reservation, who has a fear, who has a... anything, let's get it all out right now, and hopefully we can answer some of those. Any questions? There's no wrong question. There's no in the back there, I think, to the right. And any question about the Friday night class, about the curriculum? Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a question about what nights particularly are you going to try to have it on other than Friday? Will it be more nights for it to come together?
You mean as far as what night would the meeting be held on?
Yes.
That, I think, is still being determined. You thinking Friday night? Brother Gary's saying Friday night would be a good time. So that seems to be the best night, you know, like we talked about before. It just is a good night for...
Yeah.
Most of our chapters meet on Friday night. Some churches have a youth activity going on that evening, so they do Thursday. But if at all possible, I'd encourage you to do Friday night. And so, now there will
be... So this is somewhat balanced, like a Celebrate Recovery with a grounding in Jesus Christ.
Right. They're both faith-based programs.
Yeah.
And they're somewhat similar. You know, the Celebrate Recovery is kind of centered more around the 12 steps, I've noticed, which, by the way, when those started, were good, solid Christian steps. You know, AA was a Christian organization. They've recently removed the higher power completely out of their newest version of the Blue Book. That it used to be you could refer to anything general. You could be a vehicle, but, you know, they're both faith-based programs.
But they have changed... We have the 12 comparisons concerning that. We don't use the 12
I think it's along the lines of the Beatitudes now, isn't it? More of the
aptitudes that we use now there, mm-hmm. in which they're all familiar. Spiritually grounded from spiritual verses that is in with the Bible that corresponds with it. Mm-hmm. And this one will be the same way?
Yes, sir. And every book we produce is full of scripture verses. Everything is based on the Word of God. And so you won't find any secular materials out there. Now, we do have a doctor that works real closely with our ministry. His name is George Crabb. And some of the materials that he's produced are from a doctor's medical perspective. But he even incorporates many, many scriptures into the teaching that's medical teaching. In fact, on the back of the table, there's the little topical books, the little white books with the on specific addictions. He put a lot of those books together. He did the research, the medical research on each of the addictions, but there's scripture verses intertwined with it. And so I think you'll find that everything that you get from us material-wise will be solid biblically, and it would meet that standard. So good question, very good question. Yeah. I'd encourage you to get involved in the Stronghold Study Course. I mean, it's, as somebody who's, I went to a Christian college for 4 years, learned a lot about the Lord, but no curriculum, no course taught me to know God personally, like the Daily Journal and the Stronghold Study Course. And it's just, Steve Currington was anointed when he put that together. So, any other questions? Let me see here. Yes, ma'am, up here in the front.
Wait a minute, yeah.
We'll get the microphone so everyone can hear the question as well as the answer for you.
If you know a person that has an addiction, if they come, can you come as a guest with them or not?
Absolutely. In fact, we have people that come that are they come to find out how to deal with people that have addictions. And we encourage that as well. In fact, some of our women's groups are, people that are trying to deal with a husband that drinks alcohol, or trying to deal with, a family member that they're just trying to learn more about, like we talked about this morning, being apt to teach, learning about addiction, and it's a great way to become educated. So definitely, you don't have to have, we don't check you at the door and say, what's your addiction? We'll write it on your shirt. We don't do that. It's, if you want to share what you're here for, you can, but we don't require that, and we don't point anybody out for that way. So you wouldn't feel out of place if you didn't have one. So good question, very good question. Yes, sir, right there.
If I remember correctly, you made the statement that you caught a plane to go get involved in this program. Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that because there wasn't a local?
Yes, that's because in the state of Oregon at the time, there was no RU chapter anywhere to be found. In fact, we just recently, this Father's Day, will be kicking off the first chapter in Oregon, in the state of Oregon.
And did that program have accommodations for you to stay there when you went?
Did it what?
Were there accommodations when you left to go? How were you taken care of it? Where did you stay, and how did you take care of yourself while you were there?
At the Rockford program?
Yeah, when you left.
Oh, yeah.
Program.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question about the women. Well, basically, I'll say this first. When I went to Rockford, I had no money, and so someone had to help me to get there, and someone else had to help me to get the monthly tuition, to pay the monthly tuition. It's a six-month program. The Rockford program is we have a men's side and a women's side. We have room for 60 men and 40 women, and that's just about full right now. We have graduations every month, but the cost for the program is $940 a month, and which really, is a small percentage of what any secular program would cost. It's a very strict schedule at the program. And I was talking with somebody earlier at the table that was mentioning a family member that really had a serious problem, and the fact is some people are going to need more than a Friday night class. They're going to need more than just as good as the resources are and as helpful as they are. If someone's been drinking alcohol for 30 years, they need to be in a place where they're isolated and not given the opportunity to drink, and they need to have that longevity of sobriety so they can develop and develop that relationship with the Lord. But the way it's set up, it's actually the building itself for the men's home is it's an old nursing home facility that we acquired that we fixed up. And so there's two guys to a room, they work while they're there. So they get up Monday through Friday, they go to work, they work jobs, which helps pay for some of their tuition. $940 still required as outside support fee. But, you know, 5:30 in the morning, one of the requirements of being in the program is they have to spend 1 hour in the Bible and in prayer and in devotions, 1 hour. So from 5:30 to 6:30 every morning, some of the guys go from 4:30 to 5:30 because they have to go to work earlier, but 1 hour with the Lord. And we believe that's one of the keys to developing that relationship is we build that habit of getting up and meeting with the Lord every day. And then there's chapel every day from 5:30 to 6. There's church services. They go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they attend our Friday night class there in Rockford, Illinois. So it's a very structured program, and if you know anybody that needs it, by all means, see me afterwards, see Brother Gary, his wife, and we'd love to look into that. You know, if I needed residential treatment, but I've often said, you know, if there had been a local chapter in Oregon, you know, at least I would have been able to come to a church and get, you know, feel comfortable in a church that knew how to minister to people like me at the time. You know what I mean when I say that? Those kinds of people, people with addictions. But there wasn't, you know, so I'm thankful for the new chapter starting soon on Father's Day. So
the Rockford facility is for those folks who can't basically make it in the chapters, the local chapters, or if the local chapter is not available.
Right. And, you know, when somebody comes, a lot of times you'll recognize somebody coming for the Friday night class, and you'll pick up right away, this person needs residential treatment. But unless it's a life or death situation, I'd let them keep coming for a few weeks, keep coming, get familiar with the curriculum. You know, I wouldn't ship them off right away to the residential program. I'll let them get familiar with you, with the church, and build kind of a foundation. And if they go for a couple months and they still have not, you know, grown or at least moved forward, you say, hey, what do you think? You know, present it to them, hey, what do you think about possibility of going to Rockford and spending 6 months there. Okay. So, yes, ma'am.
I have two questions, actually. What encouraged you and who encouraged you to go to this?
To the program?
Yes.
Well, originally, actually, when I was in the residential program in Oregon, I went to a 35-day secular program. While I was in there, I had a friend named Kalen Kellerhals. He was a friend I went to school with. He called me while I was in there, and he had just finished the program, and he didn't know I was in a rehab, and I explained that to him, and he says, well, you got to come to Rockford. There's a six-month discipleship program that really helped me. And at the time, I thought, you know, I don't need 6 months. I got 35 days, and I'm doing fine. But after I graduated, I fell. It was within 48 hours. I went right back. And so at that point, that was in September 2009, and then my sister, my older sister Cheryl, came to visit for Christmas 2009, and she had been praying fervently that the Lord would get a hold of my life, and she's the one that put the application in front of me on Christmas, and she said, Ryan, you need to fill this out. And I looked at it; it was a 28-page. I mean, it's a thick application, and she says, Ryan, I think this is what you need. She says, you know, you need it, and so God used my sister to actually get me to take that step and fill the application out and go. Mm-hmm. So it was mostly my sister Cheryl that the Lord used.
Now, if you know someone that is actually been incarcerated and is still having the same problem, mm-hmm. or wanting to encourage those who are involved in things that they should not be involved in into the program, first of all, for the one who's been incarcerated and now has freedom, mm-hmm. and getting his own life back, to get him to the class, he already knows he would need something like that. He's actually seeking it. Mm-hmm. But I guess my question is, do you think it would no doubt be of help, but it may not be the answer to his problem?
Well, it's going to help him. It's you know, Jesus is the answer to the problem. All the program does is gets him in a place where he's isolated, kind of like a greenhouse effect where he can really
and
grow
support.
And develop. Yeah, and you know, mm-hmm. we recognize not everybody can take 6 months off of their life because of work responsibilities, because mm-hmm. of family obligations. And so, you know, if it can work for him to go, then yes, I think it would be a huge step in the right direction in getting him, you know, I don't want to say programmed, but you know, what happens a lot of times with somebody who's been using alcohol that long or drugs that long, especially from teenage age, is that when they get sober, you know, say someone starts drinking alcohol when they're 17 years of age, and they drink consistently till they're 47 years of age. They get clean at 47. I've seen this happen. Their emotional development and their social development is that of a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
because their development stopped when they started getting intoxicated very, you know, it quit. And so they have to catch up, and they have to, when I was in the rehab in Oregon, there was a guy that was what happened to him. He got clean and he was like a kid, you know, mentally and socially. He didn't know how to interact, didn't really know. And so for that reason, you know, I think it's good to get into in at least 6 months to 9 months into a place where you can deal with that. With that shock, because when you get clean, it's a shock, and a lot of people cry a lot, and they're just catching up emotionally, mm-hmm. and so if at all possible, I would recommend it, especially for that long of a, you know, because it's easy for people to come to a class and kind of, you know, stay clean enough to get, you know, to please the family or to, you know, people can go to a Friday night class and kind of pull the reins back on their addiction a little bit and go from being non-functioning addict to a functioning addict. Mm-hmm. But as far as the really thorough recovery and victory, and a lot of times it takes getting into an uncomfortable place where there's a schedule and there's no possible way of you relapsing even one time. You know, so I think it'd be good though.
Do you feel that the scripture, of course, and Christ himself is the one who's actually given you the victory, ultimate victory, or... Mm-hmm. And what did you come to in your life where you actually were made different, or mm-hmm. instead of?
Well, you know, it was the scriptures and it was the Lord, mm-hmm. and really what the program does is it eliminates all the distractions that keep you from accessing the Lord and from spending time in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You know, if every person in this room spent 2 hours a day in their Bible and in prayer, mm-hmm. We'd all be different Christians. You know, we would be, but there's TV and there's distractions and there's things that keep that from happening, and so as a result, you know, many of us are not maybe where we need to be in that way. So all the program does is it eliminates those distractions so that this can do the work that it's capable of doing.
And one last question: mm-hmm. What do you think is the greatest encouragement to someone like that to get them to a class on Friday night with everything else going on in their lives that might gain their attention?
I think if you can just encourage them that it's, you know, make it about them, about helping them. You know, a lot of people make the mistake of you know, you need to do this because you need to change, or you need, rather than approaching it from, hey, I think this could really help you, I think this could really encourage you, this could be a real positive thing. You know, hopefully as the chapter starts and gets growing, there will be testimonies that will be positive. And I'd invite them for that alone. Say, hey, you got to hear what the Lord's doing in these people's lives. If for no other reason, you know, mm-hmm. come and hear the testimonies and play it by ear, you know, and that's a good way to get somebody to come and hear what God's doing. So it's a powerful, you know, nothing trumps the power of a changed life. You know, when somebody's was once an alcoholic and a drug addict and God reaches down and changes them, not just makes them sober, but gives them victory. Man, you can't, what can you compare that to? That's an amazing thing, you know. So good, very, very good questions. Thank you for asking those. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Got one here in the front. Good questions.
I guess for me, what I like for the people here to understand and know is that the addictions can be anything. It could be mm-hmm. Food. You know, things that are maybe more socially acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be something like shoplifting.
There are, we've seen, you know, people come where, because of that.